Welcome to the HR Chat Podcast, bringing the best of the HR and talent communities to you.
The landscape of the workforce and the needs of employees has changed dramatically in 2020. Nearly 42% of the US labor force, for example, are now working from home full-time, with an established 25 to 30% continuing to do so through 2021. Substance abuse, anxiety, and depression are rising at alarming rates, and the challenge to generate more meaningful engagement is building. In this HR Chat episode, live services expert Marin Hoffman shares a 360-degree perspective on how your employees' needs have changed, along with statistics, stories, and guidance for sustaining your workforce during this continually evolving period. As Vice President of Life Services at Virgin Pulse, Marin Hoffman is committed to helping others improve their health and therefore their lives. Listen to this show and get Marin's take on the post-pandemic profile of your employee and their needs, maximizing your population's connectivity in a remote world with telecoaching, and creative ways of incorporating your coaches amongst a diverse population. This HR Chat episode is sponsored by Virgin Pulse, the global employee wellbeing solution provider, supporting 7.5 million members in 20 languages across 190 countries. Virgin Pulse Live Services recognized that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to changing healthy habits. People do best when a personalized approach that meets them where they are and guides them to where they need to be. Virgin Pulse Live Services Coaching is a comprehensive practice that facilitates person-centric, sustainable behavior change and integrates lifestyle and condition management while seamlessly connecting to the Virgin Pulse digital platform. For more information on adding live services to your well-being platform, visit virginpulse.com. Marin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Happy to be here.
Why don't you just start by telling our listeners a little bit more about yourself, your career background, and your role at Virgin Pulse?
Sure. So I'm Marin Hoffman. I'm the Vice President of Live Services at Virgin Pulse, which means I am responsible for a team of almost 300 coaches who speak to our members in group or one-on-one settings to improve their well-being. I came to this career actually from the education sector. And in education, I was always really curious about how to help a student learn. So first focused on teacher quality or student motivation. And I realized that a student can't learn if they don't feel well. And that is what led me into a career in well-being. And that has very much held true throughout the way that I have approached all aspects of what we do to help somebody improve their well-being. It's truly foundational to their ability to do anything else.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Now, before we dive into 2020, what a year, eh? Gosh. And how it shaped the way that organizations and employees have changed. Let's start with the basics and talk a bit about live services in general. What is live services and what is the coaching?
Sure. Live services, is the Virgin Pulse umbrella term for the services that individual humans provide. So these might include coaching, something like a concierge service, on-site resources, etc. Coaching is one of those services, and coaching is really a process through which a coach and a member have a dialogue that facilitates change. It's a process that helps an individual really develop their own inner wisdom, identify their values, and be able to change their well-being goals into action.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception about live services? What do people misunderstand the most?
Sure. I think people misunderstand coaching in really two main ways. The first is the unfortunate reality of what the word is. And so it's really easy to think of well-being coaching akin to sports coaching. There's certain similarities. A sports coach or a well-being coach is likely there to engage and inspire, motivate, etc. However, a well-being coach isn't going to be there to set the plays and to tell someone exactly how to do something. A well-being coach is much more there to help figure out what's in your personal way. Why aren't you living in alignment with your goals and values? And then how can you use those, your inherent strengths and values, to make the changes you need to make? I think the second misconception is around more traditional models of health coaching, which were way more focused on the disease state of any individual. It was much more like, oh, you've got diabetes. Now all we're going to talk about is diabetes and all the ways that your life has to change now. Our health coaching, our well-being coaching, is much more focused on you as an individual and really helping identify for you what's most important and how you want to live. And then making sure that you're able to align your practices and your behaviors to those values.
Okay, let's get a little bit deeper there if we can. Can you elaborate for me a little bit on the various types of live services an organization can offer?
Sure. Well, we're speaking mostly about coaching, and coaching can be offered over the phone in a one-to-one conversation, like what you and I are having, where a coach might ask an individual powerful questions to help that person really get to a deeper place of understanding of their own behavior. That can also occur in a group setting. And so now in our post-COVID reality, you know, a lot of us are having our team meetings via Zoom. We can also coach via Zoom and have group video chat sessions where folks are supporting one another in a facilitated coaching setting. We also do one-time coaching interactions, which are much more like a concierge-type service. So helping someone identify their current status, their current health risk, their current blood test that they might have just gotten. And a guide in that case would help that person decide what to do next, where to go for more resources. We also have options that are more around benefits concierge. So what is it that is available to you? So maybe coaching isn't right for you in the sense of you're not trying to change any behavior. You're not interested or ready at this time to do something like that. But you know that your employer offers services to you and you just don't know which ones are right for what your needs are. So we have folks who can help facilitate you through that process to help you find what's going to be the best fit for you. So there's a lot of different options of live services, and I think it's best to just consider it an umbrella term for people helping people. And in the ways in which people need help can really vary, from an ongoing relationship because somebody wants to lose 100 pounds or somebody is in the throes of a mental health crisis, or they just aren't sure really how to find that employee assistance program and really what's going to be available through that. And so we can help somebody in that way as well.
I lost 100 pounds the other day, but then I found my wallet, so everything was okay. Oh gosh, sorry. One for our UK audience. Now, traditionally, when you hear someone talk about health, one's mind perhaps immediately goes to nutrition, weight, and physical activity. And in fact, listeners, I'd urge you to check out the HR Chat episode called Employee Nutrition, Health Equity and Weight Management with Dr. Katz and Dexter Cherney and Misa Nuccio, who's with Virgin Pulse. But you're here to tell us that, as we've learned particularly this past year, emotional health is arguably one of the most important aspects of someone's health. And if you don't take care of your emotional health, it becomes increasingly difficult to maintain the rest. Talk to us a bit now about that and how live services and emotional health plays such a significant role in having employees achieve health habits.
Sure. You know, I guess I really think of it as emotional health is the foundation. It's the soil through which any other healthy action can take place and grow from. You know, when you think about something like eating well, you typically are going to do that from a place of self-kindness or self-compassion, or dare I say, even respect for oneself and one's life. And if you're bogged down with emotional turmoil where you aren't happy with yourself or your life, and you don't respect yourself, and you're experiencing no kindness to yourself, why not then put things into your body that actually make you feel worse? In some ways, it can even be like a self-fulfilling prophecy of if you feel bad about yourself, you're going to do things that contribute to feeling bad about yourself. And so in that way, emotional well-being is so core. It's so foundational. You need to start from that place of self-respect in order to then decide, oh, you know what? Eating that green vegetable is going to make me feel better. And I want to feel better. I deserve to feel better. And so it's very much this symbiotic relationship of you need to feel well to live well. And in living well, you feel better. And to me, it's completely core. It's completely foundational to any sort of behavior change or really any action that's going to be in the vein of helping you improve your life.
Okay, thank you. And how has the approach within life services changed post-pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've always had the stance in our coaching of honoring an individual and being non-judgmental and focused on self-empowerment and self-efficacy. In this pandemic world, we're just really doubling down there. We approach all of our conversations with an assumption, frankly, that somebody is under stress, because you can't really be functioning right now in the world and not have some degree of stress that you're not used to. This is something that very few of us have ever experienced or lived through before. And so our coaches approach all of these conversations from that sort of non-judgmental place, where they're really there to help the person cultivate their own inner strength and their own desire for a better life. And that takes a lot of patience. Our coaches are facing really hard, challenging conversations with individuals who handle the stresses of today in a variety of ways. And our coaches need to really hold space and help somebody move through these kinds of challenges that in a way that then is going to help that individual live and align their life in a way to be healthier and to thrive better.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the conversations that your coaches have. I'd imagine as the VP of Life Services for Virgin Pulse, you've had a broad view of the type of calls coming into your health coaches. Have you seen a shift in the calls received and the topics being discussed since, you know, March 2020?
Sure. Yeah. So right away, you know, right when the COVID really first hit and when governments were putting into place rules around quarantining and closing of public events, et cetera, we saw about a 33% increase in calls related to anxiety and depression, and an 80% increase in calls related to substance abuse or need for substance support, which might include alcohol or any other drug like an opioid addiction. Those have held pretty stable, I would say. You know, now that we're, gosh, are we in month 8, month 10? You know, this is becoming very much our new normal. Every call that we have has a stress element, like I mentioned before. I think what's interesting is how the dynamic of the calls has shifted over time. So those first months right after we found out about COVID, it was a crisis. Like, I can't do this. How am I going to do this? We're all going to die. Then they went into, okay, we might not all die right now, but how am I supposed to have my kids learn and hold down my job at the same time? Then they shifted into, okay, it's been a couple of months now. I've settled into this routine. My back really hurts. I sit all the time now. What do I do? How can I adjust my life in the small ways that I can adjust my life to deal with the pain that I'm now in? Now, and then as we went through the summer, I think the calls started to lighten up a little bit because people could be outside. And I think that, you know, being outside and just getting some of that fresh air can make a world of difference. But then as fall started, especially for me here in Minnesota, where we've already had a couple of snowstorms, calls have come back to, oh my gosh, I already have cabin fever. How am I going to survive? And so it's just interesting to see how as time goes on and as other factors come into play in current events, those come true into the coaching conversation as well. And our coaches really sit there and help a member sort through what's really happening. I think one of the lessons that we've all had to learn, and especially our coaches as they're helping members through something like this, is just the reality of life is a series of waves. Everything ebbs and flows. It's all ups and downs. And I feel like a big part of what we're doing within our coaching interactions is helping individuals just settle in and ride the wave and know that, yep, you know what, right now it's a snowstorm and your kids are going insane inside and your back hurts because you haven't stood up for a couple of hours. Ride that wave. You know, the sun will come out another day. You'll get to go play outside again. You'll have those up days and you'll have those down days. And having that resilience really does make a difference when we keep having things thrown at us. In this world, we do. We just have more things that add on to the lovely year that is 2020.
Well, exactly. It's been the year that just keeps giving, right? Can you share any specific examples of how the current events have influenced the types of calls that your coaches are receiving? So 2020 has been obviously the year of COVID, but also the deaths of countless Americans of color, like George Floyd. And as we record this particular interview, the election was only a couple of weeks ago. And I believe that's quite a big deal. So, you know, maybe you can, if you don't mind, offer some specific examples of how that's influenced the types of calls that your coaches are taking.
Sure. Well, so we typically will talk to a member once a month. And so, you know, we might, if I were coaching you, let's say, Bill, and we, you know, set some goals and we say, okay, great. When we have our call in November, let's really focus on Thanksgiving and how you want to handle being around your mom, who's not very nice to you. And what are you going to do? Right. Like we can have a great plan in place, but then come November, what you actually need to talk about the most is the election. And what happened to you with that and how you're handling that. And so in many ways, the coaching conversation is this like small microcosm of how to handle what life throws at you, because you aren't necessarily going to get to do what's your plan and what you thought you were going to do. And I think it's in many ways, the coaching conversation is this safe place for a member to practice the skills that they're learning within coaching, right there within that conversation, because you have to roll with it. You have to be adaptable and resilient to whatever might come up. In coaching, there's a number of different skills or approaches to coaching that somebody who's a certified coach is well-versed in practicing. Two of them are they're such good, I don't know, lessons for life. One of them is calling rolling with resistance. And so this is when you are a coach and you're talking with somebody who's resistant to change. How do you roll with that person's resistance to help them move to that place of change? Because, you know, I mean, typically nobody wants to change just because they're being told to. And so if somebody is really resistant to change, which again, maybe we could use an example like the election here, you have to sort of just sit with that and allow the space for the person to work through whatever their resistance is. If you're trying to fight that resistance, it will get bigger. And so how can you just move through it? The other one that I really like, the other coaching skill that I really like to think about is what's called developing discrepancy. And so it is this idea of how you can have conflicting points of view. You can have conflicting goals. It's most easily understood in terms of the common stance of, you know, I really want to work out. I really want to lose weight. Being physically active is super important to me. Oh, but I don't have any time to work out. The coach will help that member develop the discrepancy by really pointing that reality out of saying, okay, on one hand, I hear you saying that being physically active is a big value of yours. On the other hand, I hear you saying you don't have time for it. But we've also spent the last 10 minutes talking about the Netflix show that you just binge watched over the weekend. So help me understand how we can hold both of these things to be true. And for many, two things can be true at the exact same time. But in coaching, helping somebody to see that discrepancy helps to eventually bridge that gap. And so when we think about the current events, and we can hear somebody talk about, you know, the stress that they're under and how they want the world to just have some peace and they want just things to be easier, but yet they're posting on social media and they're the one at the Thanksgiving dinner getting everybody ignited. And you can really develop discrepancy there and point out, like, you're saying you want some peace and just some calmness, but yet you're behaving in a way that's creating the opposite of that. So how can we bridge that gap? Which of those things is most important to you? And how do you really want to behave in order to then create the life that you want to create?
I hear what you're saying. And as someone who tries to go running 4 to 5 times a week, okay, I know how important it is, but you've got to weigh this up against, you know, for example, a new series of The Crown on Netflix.
You do. Hard choices, man. Hard choices.
Right. I guess you don't need to sleep. Maybe that's the answer.
No, sleep is key, actually. If I can say one thing of 2020, goodness, when in doubt, take a nap. I think that's key.
And there's certainly a lot of time for that as lots of people are in lockdown and staying in and all the rest of it. Now, a lot of people are listening in today and they won't be certified health coaches, of course. They don't have backgrounds in coaching or therapy. So what advice would you give to our audience knowing how much congestion is consuming employees' minds right now?
Yeah. You know, I think now is just such a good time to really think about, what do you want? You know, when despite the amount of stress and the amount of turmoil that we're all going through, there's also a lot more space in our lives than I think any of us are really used to. And so now is a really good time to think about, what do we want time to be like? How do we want it to be filled? Do you want it to be filled with watching the next season of The Crown? Or do you want it to be filled with a nap, even if you want to take it to that sort of granular of a level? But I think for employees and for HR folks listening to this today, it's really thinking about, what is the culture that you have? How is authenticity rewarded or discouraged? How much compassion do your leaders have in the way that they lead? How much are you honoring employees as actual people who have struggle and have stress and have challenge? And really, how do you want your culture to be? What are your beliefs that underpin how your organization functions best? And it's a good time to really take a step back and reflect on those questions and the answers that you want them to have and create the space to make the changes that you want to make. Now is such a good time to make change. You can do it so subtly as we're all remote. And in a way that, you know, maybe it's easier in an organization to rely on, oh, well, we're in this COVID world, so we're going to end every meeting 5 minutes early so that you can get your kids onto their next Zoom class before you log in. But those little things do really add up, and they can create a fundamental shift in the way that your culture behaves and functions for the better, that they don't need to be just specific to a pandemic. They can be a new way in which you all work and practice. And I believe in doing so, you'll have better results for your business and happier employees.
Okay, I get it. I'm sold. So if you and I had regular conversations, you'd be able to motivate me off my butt. So I'm doing my running 4 or 5 times a week and not watching The Crown. You'll be able to help me get a different perspective, probably help with my eating habits, help me take time to be present in the moment, and all these other wonderful, awesome things. Okay. But why don't you just take a moment now and spell it out for our audience? What are those key benefits from incorporating the live element into a well-being strategy?
I think it's really down to honoring your employees as people, and knowing that they are there with their own values, with with their own needs, with their own worries, and helping them figure out a way to be an amazing employee for you and align their life to their values. You know, I think of, in so many ways, I think of life as just practice. And I love the saying of just practice what you want to be good at. And so if you want to be an organization that's got a great culture and that has employees that live well and treat their bodies with respect and engage in healthy behaviors, that's something that you have to do every day. You have to practice creating that kind of an organization every day. You aren't going to wake up one day and have that. So in the same way that you're saying that you run 4 or 5 times a week, that is only because you ran today and then you're going to run tomorrow. It's you practicing that behavior every day. And then that's what becomes the reality and the truth. So practice what you want to be good at. If you want to be healthy every day, practice making a healthier choice. That's what will add up to better health.
You can run home and watch that latest episode on Netflix. There you go. There's your motivation. Okay, we're already coming towards the end of this interview, Maren. Before we wrap things up, a last couple of questions for you. Next one, just add a bit more meat to the bones there. Prove it a little bit. How would an organization gauge the success of live services? Have you got any stats or any more anecdotes that you can add to what you've said today?
Sure. Well, I mean, so I think first the benefit of a live service is in the eye of the beholder. And so after every call, we have our members answer the question of, you know, do you agree that you are improving your well-being as a result of working with our coach? On a scale of 0 to 5, our average score there is 4.8. We also ask, would you recommend the coaching that you just experienced to a friend or colleague? And again, our score there is 4.7. So again, the benefit is to the person who's having that experience, because it's when they believe that they're getting a value that they will change their behaviors, which will then lead to the outcomes that you're most interested in, like improved health, reduced healthcare expense, increased productivity, increased engagement in your organization, et cetera.
Perfect. And just finally for today, how can our listeners connect with you, Maren? So maybe you're on LinkedIn or Twitter, or maybe you're super cool and you're on TikTok or something. And how can they also learn more about all the awesome things that you get up to over at Virgin Pulse?
Sure. Well, I am on LinkedIn. My name is Maren Hoffman. You can also contact me at MarenHoffman@VirginPulse.com. And then, of course, check out VirginPulse.com and see what else that we have to offer. And we have a number of different solutions outside of and inclusive of live services that can really help your employees. So check us out. We're here to help you.
Wonderful. Well, that just leaves me to say, Maren, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the HR Chat Show.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much.
And listeners, as always, until next time, stay safe and happy working.
Thank you for listening to the HR Chat Podcast, brought to you by the HR Gazette.